The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, "Keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew 15, 21 to 28, the gospel lesson that was just read. The sermon title is Persistent Prayer. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so, you think you're the only one whose daughter is driving you crazy. Just imagine, if you can, that your teenage daughter was possessed by a real demon. A real one. You know, the exorcist kind. You remember that movie? Wild Fits in the Night. Physical abuse of siblings, friends, and parents. Tearing apart her stuffed animals with her bare hands. Tearing apart the family pet with her bare hands. Subhuman voices in foreign languages, ability to levitate furniture and anybody who comes too close, even wild contortions of the body that would lead us older folks permanently paralyzed. The doctors are puzzled. The medical doctors say it's a psychiatric case, so he sends you to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist does the test and says there's no drugs involved. It's a psychology case, so he sends you to the shrink. Now, you're ready for the shrink yourself. The psychologist says it's the worst case he's ever seen. And after recommending a priest, he goes out for a stiff drink. The priest comes and says, it's a demon. And you say, I've been saying that all along. The priest says his prayers and gets beat up by your daughter. The priest uses the ritual for casting out demons. And guess what? It doesn't work. He says, it's the worst case he's ever seen. He shakes your hand, and while leaving says, sorry, only an act of God, a real miracle, will cure your daughter. So what would you do then? You couldn't keep living with her. The only reasonable thing to do would be admit her to the state hospital for psychiatric patients. She would have to live the rest of her life behind several locked doors. She would have to live in constraints or a straitjacket in a padded cell for the rest of her life. And you would visit maybe about once a week, hoping that there might be some improvement someday, but there won't be any. For the rest of your life, you make the weekly trek. They say she's worse when you're there. But you visit out of duty. It's the baby girl that you once knew and you once loved. You still love her. For any parent with love for the child, it's a fate worse than death. Now, this Canaanite woman had already gone through all of this when she heard about the Jewish healer named Jesus. She lived along the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which was known as the Roman province of Phoenicia. And it's the same place that we call Lebanon today. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't a Greek or Roman. Maybe she was a citizen of one of those, but she was a Canaanite. And she looked Lebanese. If you know what Lebanese look like, you're getting close. But for the Jews, the Canaanites were racially as low as you can get, lower than the Samaritans. Noah, it says in the Bible, cursed his grandson named Canaan and all of his descendants. And guess who lived in Canaan? Those were the people. The Jews, when they came up from Egypt, were ordered to exterminate the Canaanites in their conquest of the land of Canaan. But the northern tribes failed to obey those orders, so many Canaanites were still living there at the time of Christ. Now here's the question, and this is what most of the discourse between Jesus and the woman is all about. Why would the Jewish Messiah even look at the despised Canaanite? But he is in their region, in their land, preaching the gospel to Canaanites, healing the sick, casting out demons, just like he did in Galilee, east of the Jordan, and in Judea. His ministry has not changed. He's doing the same thing with the scum of the earth, Canaanites. Although he was only serving Jews in the region, the fact that Jesus was in their country gave this Canaanite woman some hope. And so she decided to go visit Jesus. What could she lose? She didn't try. She knew she would have a life of misery, along with her bedeviled daughter. And by persistence, that's the key word in this text. By persistence, the Canaanite woman found Jesus. As she approached the crowd that was around him, she called out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a demon." Now try saying that at Hillsdale Mall and see what happens. People who heard you, they get quiet and they back away and they think that you might be possessed, but she didn't care. The disciples were kind of concerned about this. They had dealt with crazy people before. Some of the disciples got between Jesus and the woman, and they tried to shoo her away. Others asked Jesus to command her to leave. What did Jesus say? Did he tell her to leave? No. He cried out for everybody in the crowd to hear, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." So what did that mean? Did it mean he would consider her request? Well, it doesn't sound like it. But this lady was smart. She thought to herself, Jesus is telling me his mission, his duty, his commission from God. God only gave him orders to serve the Jews. But maybe Jesus can make an exception. If he has that sort of status with God, he can probably do that. So the woman took the bet on the exception, crawled under the crowd and the disciples, and ended up at Jesus' feet. "Lord, please help me." This woman is an example of persistent prayer. She looked up with hope in her eyes, and she saw a steely, emotionless stare in Jesus' face. Now, this is not the Jesus that you and I know, the romanticized version, all huggy-lovey and all that. He was obviously not happy that she was disturbing the work that he was doing that day. Who did she think she was to divert him from the work that God had assigned to him? His reply here was probably the harshest thing Jesus ever said to anybody. What did he say? "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." That's from Jesus. He was calling her a dog in public. For the Jews, dogs were unclean. Usually, they ate garbage in the streets with the pigs and the rats. So did the Canaanite women give up then? No. She was an example of persistent prayer, and she was smart. She listened to what Jesus had said. He said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Oh. She thought through those words, and sometimes there's one word that makes the difference. There's still an avenue of hope here. Jesus did not say she was a junkyard dog. He said, "their dogs." He compared her to a family pet, the dog that looks to the child for handouts. Look at what it says. Look what he said. He said, "toss it to their dogs." Oh, you know, if you have a dog, he's part of the family, right? If he wasn't, there's something wrong. Dogs know how to make themselves part of the family. And this meant she was part of the family, even though very low and humble. the very bottom of the pecking order, and you get what's left over, right? This is like the prodigal son when he said to himself, I would be much better off as my father's servant in his house than on my own anywhere else. So the woman heard, she thought, and she smiled. And she said to herself, I'd rather be a dog in Jesus' house than on my own anywhere else. I'll accept the status of a dog. And then she replied, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. We have all seen our dogs eating crumbs in our own houses, and we don't chase those dogs away. That is their reward for accepting the children as their masters. Well, then, as we say, the ice broke between the two of them. We don't know if Jesus smiled, but I bet he did. He maybe even chuckled, because she got the joke. He first commended her highly, Woman, great is your faith. And you know this commendation from Jesus was very rare in his career. The only other case we know of is in Matthew 8:10, where Jesus commended, not a Jew, the Roman centurion, who begged Jesus to heal his servant. Both the Roman centurion and the Canaanite woman were Gentiles, like you and me. Both were hated by the Jews. Somehow, in some way, for some strange reason, the children's dogs understood Jesus better than the elect chosen people. And then he said, Your prayer is answered. The woman later found out that her daughter was healed that very hour. And I'm sure that the story ends with both woman and daughter being the first Christians in Phoenicia. They would have joined the church that gathered there in Phoenicia after the persecution following the death of Stephen, as recorded in Acts 11, verse 19. So there's a lesson for you today here. Very simple. Be persistent in your prayers. I don't just mean pray every day. I mean for the things that you really need or want. When God does not at first answer your prayer or make his will clear, keep on praying until he gives you an answer, one way or another. If the answer sounds like no, look at it carefully, like the Canaanite woman did. Sometimes, with these type of prayers, you must wait. Sometimes most of your life, like Joseph in exile in Egypt. Other times, there's sometimes a change that has to happen in you. Your heart must be changed first, like Job in the presence of God. But whatever you do, don't give up. Pester God with prayer, if you must. Pester him, just like the dog pesters you for food. Pester God for what you need. And that's what Paul exhorts you to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he says, pray without ceasing. In our Savior's name, amen.